It's Blammo. I'm Jeremy Kirkland, and it's good to be back. Well, I'm kind of back. I'm back from New York, at least. I was out there recording a bunch of pods for the new season. Yeah, we're doing stuff in person. Look at me. Sans mask, vaxxed up, ready to go. It was great. I mean, I also did some video stuff while I was out there. So you get to see my dumb ass on a screen pretty soon. That's going to be fantastic. Me just kind of riffing. I feel like there's a reason why I started a podcast, but, you know, maybe we'll find it as my demise of video, just as a reminder. Who knows? Anyway, did a pod, Blammo Extra, with Matt Hrenick of the William Brown Project, the man we all know and love and probably secretly envy from the Matt Hrenick meat pick, the cocktail recipes. And by the way, I've yet to meet someone who doesn't have one of his books on their shelf. You know the book I'm talking about, the A Man and His Watch, A Man and His Car. It's like become this sort of like cool guy status symbol. I mean, it's great. I mean, and he, you know, he's, as you'll hear, he's shocked about it too. But Matt and I discuss his recent cleanse where he did a crazy big detox over in Germany with his wife, his renewed approach to life, utilizing Substack, fly fishing in Cuba with David Coggins, and all the travel mishaps in between. And I gotta say, I was the most into the fact that homie has some travel mishaps because, you know, I mean, first off, on Instagram, everybody, you get mad jelly of just the guy gallivanting around the world, crushing it, looking awesome in the suits and the fits. And I was, you know, I mean, I took no pleasure in it, but I was like, oh man, yeah. So you forget about bags too, or you make mistakes too. It was amazing. I love the guy. Big shout out to Matt Hrenick. By the way, masterclass right now on how to pronounce the guy's last name. It's Hrenick. You hear that little H there? I'm using a pretty damn good mic, so you can understand what I'm trying to say. But it's Hrenick. I'm very proud that I've gotten his last name right after knowing the guy for, I don't know, a decade. Maybe that's why he did the William Brown Project, because no goofball like me is going to mispronounce his last name after knowing him for so long. Good Lord! It's Blammo Extra. We're back with the return of Matt Hrenick. Matt, very, very, very good to have you back. You look fantastic.
I feel good.
Yeah.
I feel good as a middle-aged
glowing.
Guy.
Your skin is glowing.
Wow. That
dead
is
serious.
So, it's not just the light in the room.
It is not the light in the
wow,
room.
That's so... Well, thank you.
Well, yeah. I mean, there's... Obviously, you always have 10,000 stories in your back pocket, but one of the big and more recent things that happened with you lately is some form of this like master cool super cleanse
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. You know, I'll give you the so my wife Yolanda, who you know,
mm-hmm.
she was always talking about these kind of clinical health spas. Not just like a sexy Amman where you go get massages, but really these mm-hmm. kind of deep dive, mostly Middle European medical spas.
Yeah, like with doctors versus
technicians, right?
Yeah.
Real doctors,
yeah.
real nurses, real medical professionals.
No crystals here.
No crystals, no like desert shamans, like real doctors. And we had these friends who were going to these, you know, when you take the deep dive, there's a collection of them, again, like in Austria, Germany, Switzerland, one in Spain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we had these French friends who know their way around like red wine and pâté.
Mm.
That, you know, once a year they would go as a group, it was a mother and two sisters, I think, to this spa in Germany
mm-hmm.
for a fast. Like 2 week fast. And Yolanda said, oh, I think that's kind of interesting. And the kind of benefits of fasting and the reset. And we'd kind of made a deep dive. And there's I can't remember the book now, but Yolanda had some fantasies about, you know, being in a Swiss spa, like kind of with a blanket on your legs on a terrace overlooking like some hillside or a lake
oh,
or
yeah.
something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, if people follow me on Instagram or they know anything about me, I live a very indulgent life and that is very celebrates a lot of food and beverage.
Yeah, yeah.
And during lockdown, I just didn't deny myself anything. You know, I had like COVID twice, basically. And
nice.
I had the OG COVID. And then we were up at my house in upstate and I lost taste and smell. And it was like the most horrific thing that ever.
Actually, wasn't this around New Year's too that this happened?
Yeah. Well, it actually started. So the first time I had it was very early March, you know, when the first pandemic lockdown, and we ran to our house in upstate and nobody knew what losing taste and smell was at that time. And my ENT thought I had like a nasal infection. And all I know is that I woke up one morning and the very smelly Acqua di Parma, you know, hotel shampoo in my shower, I couldn't smell it.
Right.
I couldn't taste coffee. And I was just like, and that happened for like 2 weeks. And then I slowly regained it. But that 2 weeks was super hellish for me. Mm-hmm. So when we came out of it, I was just like, I'm going for it, man.
Right.
I'm eating everything, drinking everything, hitting the wine cellar, pulling out the best stuff. It was sort of like I survived like death in a weird way. And I was just going to celebrate my taste buds and my sense of smell with just like an indulgent, right? Well, long story short, after 2 years of that, really, and, you know, and being conscious of like regular exercise, and I've always been really a pro of that, I put on a lot of weight and I wasn't feeling good.
How much weight are we talking about here? 20 pounds? 10?
I was just, no, about 15 solid pounds.
Okay. That's enough to alter your clothes.
Yeah. And, you know, Jeremy, I have great friends who are great tailors who have been so generous, and I have this amazing wardrobe that like was putting a lot of pressure on the buttons. You know, I was just like, couldn't fit into pants.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like, and I just started feeling like sorry for myself and bad. I just was like, I couldn't get out of the rut.
Right.
And then my daughter's in school in Scotland now. We're a little bit more free with our schedule. And Yolanda said, listen, I really want to do a story on this health spa called Buchinger. That's in Überlingen in Germany. It's just outside Zurich. And they're going to offer a very kind of steep discount for me, but why don't we just pay for you to go as well? I mean, you know, whatever. And I looked at it and I was like, you know what? That seems like a good place to spend some money. I do like a little restriction in my life.
Right.
I have fasted before on my own. I love the way I felt. I said, let's do it. So we took the deep dive and we signed up for a 2-week fast in this tiny little town called Überlingen in Germany. And you show up and it's like this Bauhaus looking structure overlooking Lake Constance. It's quite ideal. Oh, it kind of feels like the hallways feel like James Bond in Thunderball, you know, when he goes to that, you know. So my last meal in Zurich was, I was hitting it pretty hard before this, right? So we went to my favorite restaurant in the world, is called the Kronehalle in Zurich, where it's just like rösti, which is that kind of buttery giant hash brown cake with everything. So, and you know, so it's like rösti with Wiener Schnitzel and, you know, tons of red wine and then black, you know, like chocolate pudding with whipped cream. And we just like hit it hard. And that just made me feel like more gross the next day when we made the journey to Buchinger.
Right.
And we checked in, and the fast is basically water, mineral water, this kind of brothy pureed soup, and tea. No coffee, no booze, no solid food. And every single day,
no coffee,
no caffeine. And the funny thing is, we smuggled in organic instant coffee. And once we got in there, we were like, you know what? What are we cheating ourselves for, right?
That's fair.
We're spending all this time and money. Like, what are we doing? Like,
right.
No, we never opened it. But we did, we were allowed green tea in the beginning, and I did have them smuggle me some green tea just because I was worried about, like, caffeine headaches. But after a while, it just didn't really matter. And I felt a lot of clarity and brightness. I never felt sluggish and cloudy, you know, which I use caffeine as a crutch for all the time. And you meet with a doctor, they pull bloods, they look at all your stats, they check your cholesterol, your blood pressure, you know, all that. You know, I came in with high blood pressure, which was probably all those kind of aggressive Swiss Wiener Schnitzel meals.
Right.
I came in. But you know, you check in with a nurse every day. She weighs you. She tells you what's going on. They have all these amazing programs like colon cleanse and hydrocolonics.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. A lot of, you know, you could visit with a dietitian. There's massage, breathing, like all this stuff that's kind of included in it. And then every day at 2 o'clock, they put you in a bus and you go to some amazing landscape in the German countryside. Like some foothills, walk through a vineyard or whatever, and you hike for 2 hours, and it's great.
But that sounds incredible. But like, what about the energy level? In the sense that, like, was there like almost a sort of like body panic into which you go from? You used to have a ton of calories, and now you're having obviously significantly less, and now you're moving.
Some people experience fatigue. Yolanda had actually low blood pressure.
Okay.
Like, so she, you know, had to have that supplemented with, you know, they give you like raw honey and stuff like that.
Okay.
But for me, I find like after the first day, you really get this sense of energy that is like no other. Like there's a sense of clarity and energy. Like your body's used to fasting. I mean, we come from this part of, this is how it was explained to me. If you think about our DNA and who we are, like we didn't eat every single day as Homo sapiens.
Yeah.
Like
yeah, you're
right. We didn't eat for a few days and then we caught something and then we ate something. And then for another few days, maybe we didn't, you know, so the body is this kind of self-regulating machine like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
Only when you're like in the world that we are, when you're, invited to dinners and cocktails and, you know, like, or you're invited to some new restaurant, do you just like eat constantly? And
right.
I am not the guy to say no. I don't say no. Like another Negroni? Yes.
Right. Right.
Another helping of Rushdie and Schnitzel? Yes. I look at every meal as sort of my last meal, and maybe that was my downfall. But I do think that the kind of medical supervision of all this, and like they want you to rest, right? Like we come from this, like you got to keep rolling, you got to keep doing it, you got to be active.
In New York too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we want you to turn your computer off, put your phone away.
Your phone.
No, they don't.
Okay.
But they suggest like relax, like enjoy an afternoon nap. Like, don't feel guilty for resting. Like you're putting your body through a lot right now. Your liver is going through this immense detoxification process.
Mm.
And they do this thing. It's just so great. Like after you have your afternoon soup,
mm-hmm.
right? The nurse comes in with a hot water bottle and wraps you, like swaddles you with this hot water bottle that's on your liver. And she says something like, you know, she is working the hardest here. You know, she... the female liver, right? And our nurse was called, I called her Mutti, which is like mother in Germany, like, mm-hmm. Their mommy in Germany. And she was amazing. And then she closed the curtain, you know, after she puts a little like fluffy down comforter on you. And it's like, okay, now you rest.
Wow.
It was great. It was like, I loved it. Of course, Yolanda would have her laptop on her chest, you know, pecking away. But I just really was like, I'm going to just take the deep dive into this. I mean, so after a week, then you're like, you're weighing in and you really see like the weight coming off and feeling lighter and having energy. And I was like, your skin is brighter. Like there's all, your eyes are clearer.
Yeah.
I think, you know, I love the ritual of the evening cocktail. Like
mm-hmm.
I didn't miss the food. Like, I've done that before. I could be very restrictive, but there's something about, like, I would have loved maybe, like, a 6-ounce martini, you know,
right.
at around 7 o'clock and just, like, you know, plop into this big down comforter and, like, go to bed. That was really, I do like the ritual of that, and I did miss that. But we were allowed to walk into town. You hear stories of, like, you know, guests, particularly like they would say, oh, particularly a lot of Russian guests will sneak into town and like drink vodka.
Oh my God.
Or we knew people that would sneak into town and have coffee. Like you can walk into town, like you're not in a prison. And even as I like stared into these gorgeous, like Wurstel sausage shops in Germany, I didn't feel like I needed to go in and like indulge. I felt like I need to stay on the program. And I'm glad I did, because at the end of the day, blood pressure regulated. I lost like 15 pounds and I just felt better.
Mm-hmm.
And also I kind of changed the way I looked at food, which was interesting, right? I know I have this reputation of being this like massive carnivore,
yeah.
but I really got in touch with my more herbivore side, and things taste differently. Things, I don't know, smelled differently for the better. And they were saying that a lot of professional chefs, European chefs, go and do this to kind of reset their palate because they're clobbered by all this like sugar, salt, and fat.
Mm.
And this is a great way to kind of reset. I would say in general, the fast was a massive reset more than a quote unquote detox. It just like changed the way I kind of looked at food, how I ate, the kind of food I wanted to eat, how I like really feel like I need to live my life.
Right.
Which is interesting.
And you were saying how this like changed your food now. When you're out, it's over. What was your meal like? Like, have you noticed smaller portions or being full sooner?
I don't think I need to. Like, yeah, I think smaller portions for sure. But I've definitely embraced more veg and fruit like I've never in my life. Like, I just sort of like crave it, which is so weird. That being said, our first meal after leaving the clinic, we went to Copenhagen to visit Yolanda's brother, and mm-hmm. And my publisher Leah at Artisan got us a reservation at Noma.
Oh,
so we
that is the polar extreme.
Yeah, I mean, luckily it was like the fish menu,
right? Right.
But man, I mean, things tasted like I've never tasted before, and also that menu was actually quite clean, and it's all seafood. But like the wine pairings and stuff was just like another world for me. I just was like, everything was so dialed to like 11 or 12.
What'd you eat at Noma? Are like, they doing bug stuff and things now?
So every season they'll do some kind of seasonal menu. So this was the fish menu. So it was okay. Like 15 courses of just fish stuff, you know, from uni to crab to, you know, langoustine and fish. And it was just incredible. It was incredible. But it was like a real like, whoa.
Right.
Yeah. This is like a hard clobber, you know?
Yeah.
But I think when I came into the real world, like I started fitting into all that great tailoring,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And was thinking to myself, wow, there's a big investment here. And I owe it to my tailors to like, you know, fit into their stuff. You know,
yeah,
and
yeah.
And when I, you know, just before, maybe about a month before, I was in Naples with my friend Gerardo, who's with Julieva Heritage,
yeah,
and he measured me for a double-breasted jacket, and we went to the atelier in Naples to kind of to try it on, and I was like, Gerardo, did you get the measurements right? Like, this is looks like it was, you know, measured as a single-breasted.
Oh boy!
And he pulled out the measurements, and he was like, you're 7 centimeters over. And I was like, wow, that's like two inches and change, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a lot. And I was like, oh my God. So when I had the final kind of consultation with my doctor, who again goes through all the bloods and, you know, tells you what's going on with your blood pressure and your cholesterol, he takes out the tape measure and he goes around my waist and he goes, you're 8 centimeters down. And I was so happy because I just wanted to call Gerardo.
8 centimeters.
And say, I'm going to fit into that jacket, you know?
Holy.
Yeah, you know, it was quite extraordinary. And also, I started going back to the gym again. Like, they had amazing facilities there. So, like, day five, I mm-hmm. felt, like, strong enough and good enough that I could sort of ease into a workout routine again. I have this great trainer in New York called Alex Rosen, who sent me his app with exercises in it. It was so great with like connect to little YouTube videos and correct yeah. form and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing. So I started doing that again because all I had was kind of time on my hands to kind of indulge in stuff, you know?
Yeah. Did you feel, and maybe this is like more of like a social media thing, because I feel like the amount of times I look at social media or check it or get frustrated because you see everything else that everyone's doing, and I need to communicate some sort of progression in that. Like, did you feel, in terms of like your mental health, like just better knowing that you didn't have to, you know, because obviously, like, you went dark, you know, on your social.
Yeah, I probably was a bit dark. Yolanda was not dark.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, Yolanda had many an Instagram story of some beautiful apple orchard in a vineyard in a walk. And that kind of fits into her agenda really perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
There were no meat picks.
Yeah, right.
There was no, like, you know, martinis and Negronis being documented. And I felt fine about that. You know, I, you know, found my voice when I needed it. I was also, crazily enough, I'm writing a cookbook right now as a with Artisan, which is sort of based on this food journal that I kept for those 4 months when we were up at the house.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And, you know, indulging into these ideas of recipes from my mom and the food I grew up with and why food was so important and the meals are so important at William Brown Farm. So that's the idea of the book. Well, I'm writing that and going over recipes, not eating. And
right.
That was surreal. And the interesting thing about it is that...
Want to hear the rest? Well, quit horsing around and join us over on Patreon. You'll hear this episode and a ton more exclusive episodes from the return of Sid Mashburn to Chris Gibbs of Union on Patreon. Visit patreon.com/blammo to learn more and sign up. And when you join, you get access to our private members-only Slack group where we chat about watches, clothes, cars, and everything that's dope. So visit patreon.com/blammo and we'll see you there. And wait, 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 wait! We're also doing AMAs now on our Patreon. May 5th, Matt Rennick is coming on into the Slack, taking questions, giving answers. We're going to have a ton of fun. You're missing out. So come on, quit horsing around, join us over on the Patreon. I love you. We'll see you there.